We are delighted to have with us on the phone this morning Senator Bob Casey. Senator, it's good to have you with us this morning.
Hey, Mayor, great to be with you.
And before we start, I got to thank you because I don't know how many people are aware of this, but you have been one of the greatest proponents for the Susquehanna Valley Thruway Project. You're one of the three people I consider true heroes of the project. Every time we had a task force meeting, you always had a representative there. You would call me or we would meet once or twice a year over the course of it. You always wanted to know what was going on. And then you got a $69 million out of the federal transportation bill to help with the project. So, Senator, thank you for what you've done for the Valley. We really appreciate it.
Well, Mayor, thanks. That thruway couldn't be more important to the whole region. So we're finally moving, right?
Yep, we are. The dirt is flying, and the one part of it's done, and the rest is well underway. Well, Senator, we only have a limited time with you, and I know there are a couple of items that are dear to your heart. One of the items we wanted to talk about was the border crisis as it relates to your efforts to fight the fentanyl epidemic. And, of course, now it's come into really sharp focus with the murder of Laken Riley in New York by an illegal immigrant. So what, you know, I know that there was a bipartisan bill. It didn't get passed. What can we do now? What's our path forward here, Senator, on that and on fentanyl?
Well, two things we should do, Mayor, in the short run is, first and foremost, pass the fend-off fentanyl legislation, which is part of the security bill that the House has in front of it. If the Speaker of the House puts what a lot of people call the Ukraine bill on the floor, it will pass. And guess what? You know what's in that bill? The fend-off fentanyl legislation, which is a sanctioning and anti-money laundering bill. It would hit the bad guys hard where it counts, in their pocketbook, and send a lot of them to jail. So that's part of making progress on the border, is to make sure that fend-off fentanyl passes as part of the Ukraine bill. Second, we should get back to the drawing board on the bipartisan border agreement. That's the best border security bill we've seen in at least a decade, and we had an opportunity to pass that. As you know the story, one party decided to genuflect to their presidential candidate and kick it out of the agreement, the security agreement. What's going to happen, I think, after we get these appropriation bills done, is we're going to go back to debating and putting in front of the people that bipartisan border agreement, which would change border policy. Fewer people that should not be in the country would come in. That number would go way down, number one. Number two is you'd have more resources to hire more Border Patrol, thousands and thousands of Border Patrol agents, more ICE agents, more personnel on the ground to deal with the border security crisis, and more resources. We need to make sure that when we have these fluctuations in border crossings, that we have the resources to deal with it. You can't simply yell and scream about border security and then not support the policy changes that are necessary in the bipartisan deal and support the resources. Now, as part of that effort to get back to the bipartisan deal, I've got a bill called the Stop Fentanyl at the Border Act, and that would help the hardworking law enforcement officers at the border to give them more resources, to give them more technology, to make sure that we're not simply focused on the number of people crossing the border. We got to get that number way, way down. That's number one. And number two is we have to focus on what's also coming across the border carried by U.S. citizens. Fentanyl. Which is destroying, ravaging our communities. Small towns and rural areas are being devastated by fentanyl, and we've got these criminal elements that are U.S. citizens. 88% of the fentanyl coming into the country is brought in by U.S. citizens. Billions of doses being brought into the country, even though we intercepted a billion doses last year. We need to stop billions and billions of doses of fentanyl at the border. And you have to make sure that you have the technology to do that, and that is the high-technology screening that can find fentanyl in a car tire. It can find fentanyl in any part of a vehicle. It can find fentanyl in any part of a piece of cargo. That's how you secure the border and stop fentanyl, by passing fend-off fentanyl, passing the bipartisan border agreement and also passing my Stop Fentanyl at the Border Act. If we do all three, we will have a dramatic change at the border. The number of people crossing the border will go way down. The doses of fentanyl will go down by billions if we pass these three pieces of legislation. And we'll send to jail some of these cartel and bad actors that are bringing that are setting up U.S. citizens to bring fentanyl into the country.
Well, talking about that bipartisan bill, Senator Marco Rubio made the comment in a rather extensive interview that it provides, first of all, 1 year away from a green card and 4 years away from being able to apply for citizenship. And a lot of people have said over the years that the president has allowed this to go on because they believe he's trying to get more Democratic voters who will be grateful for letting them into the country. Do you buy that?
So look, what you're hearing a lot of bullshit in Washington. I'll just say it that way.
Okay.
Bullshit, all right? If you want to secure the border, you have to get serious about fixing the problem. It's not good enough to yell and scream about one or the other issue at the border. You got to support the resources to stop fentanyl at the border, number one, and you got to support the resources to hire more Border Patrol. We need more Border Patrol. We need more ICE, and that costs money. You've got to invest in resources that will give us the law enforcement we need at the border to stop the numbers from growing and to reduce those numbers and to stop the fentanyl at the border. If we do that, we can stop billions of doses of fentanyl at the border. A billion doses last year were stopped. That's not good enough. We need to be stopping several billion doses at least at the border. So if you're serious about border security, you should support the bipartisan deal. And unfortunately, you've got too many politicians that are genuflecting to a candidate instead of solving the problem. James Lankford, who negotiated this bill, is as far right as anybody I know. He's a right-wing senator, and he negotiated this bill. So this wasn't a Democratic bill. It wasn't a Republican-only bill. It was a bipartisan deal. And anyone who says anything else is lying to you.
Okay. Well, look at Senator Kyrsten Sinema. She has announced now that she's not going to run for re-election.
Yeah.
Of course, she kind of really didn't have a pathway to get re-elected. But she blamed the lack of ability to work across the aisle in Washington. Do you see that improving anytime soon, Senator? Is there hope for bipartisan work?
Joe, not enough of it. And everyone has to do more to work together. That's why this bipartisan border deal was remarkable. No one, not a single person in Washington thought that this deal would come together. And it did, because Democrats were supporting policy changes that they might not have otherwise. Republicans were supporting new investments at the border that they never support. They never seem to vote for the Border Patrol. Why did the Border Patrol Union, who endorsed the former president, will endorse him again in this race, the Border Patrol Union. They're going to endorse the Republican nominee for president. The Border Patrol Union supported the bipartisan border deal. What more proof does anyone need? But there's no question that we need a lot more bipartisanship to get the government funded this Friday, to get a border security deal passed, instead of playing games with their presidential candidate, support the bill. And also to focus on other challenges we have as a nation. But there's no question there has to be more bipartisanship. I think this was a moment when we actually had some.
Well, let's hope it comes back. One of the things that you're working on is near and dear to my heart, Shrinkflation Prevention Act. I think all of us have noticed either the prices of things have gone up or the amount of stuff in the package has gone down. What prompted you to work on this, Senator?
Well, I think a lot of Americans have seen it for years in their grocery store. They've seen the greedflation part of this, which is prices skyrocketing and corporate profits going up and the cost of food going way up at the same time. There's no excuse for big corporations jacking up the cost of food like they have since 2020 while they're getting record profits. If you're getting record profits, then your cost must not be so high that you need to jack up the prices. So that makes no sense. People see record profits of corporations and food prices going up. But the shrinkflation part of it, I think they've probably seen for even longer, where the contents of the package is getting smaller and the price never goes down. And we have to deal with that as well. We have to pass legislation like I've proposed to make sure that any time a company engages in shrinkflation, we label that a deceptive practice, and that is investigated, and that company pays consequences, civil damages or other consequences that company has to fork over. Because these companies are ripping people off all the time. It's a deceptive practice, but the law currently doesn't allow the Federal Trade Commission to crack down as we want them to crack down. So that's basically what I'm trying to do about it as we deal with this really disgusting practice of shrinkflation.
Let me ask you this about shrinkflation. What would trigger it? Is there a percentage reduction that would require the act to take force?
No, it's really a determination that the Federal Trade Commission would make that it was a deceptive practice. That's basically the determination they make. The other problem we have here, Joe, is the Federal Trade Commission does not have the power to do the price gouging investigations that I think most Americans want them to do. They just don't have that power. It's as simple as that. State governments have that power. The Federal Trade Commission does not. So you need both. You need to have the Federal Trade Commission issue new regulations that speak to a deceptive practice, but you also need price gouging investigations. The big companies jacking up their prices way beyond their costs, no one would begrudge them if they're increasing prices to offset their costs. That's a good old American way. But when you're jacking up your prices way beyond your costs, you should be hit by some consequence. And that the only way to do that is to have an investigation of that company, or many companies, frankly, and then have the Federal Trade Commission make that determination and then have a consequence imposed upon the company. It's just outrageous. These families are getting ripped off every day at the grocery store because big food companies and other companies making household products, everything from boneless chicken to toilet paper to paper towels to drinks and everything you can imagine, all kinds of drinks that people buy at a grocery store, whether it's Coca-Cola products or otherwise, they're all going through the roof. And these big companies are getting away with it year after year after year. And there's no consequence for this outrageous and I think illegal behavior.
Well, we have to be responsible to your staff. They've given us a time limit, and I don't want to run too much past it, but I do have to ask you one question. You brought up the election cycle. A lot of people are saying that President Biden is too old for this job, that he's not going to make it, and in Democratic primaries, uncommitted or none of the above has pulled a significant number of supporters. How do you feel about the president and whether or not he's sharp enough and physically strong enough to do another 4 years?
No question he's prepared to do this job today and would be where he reelected. I know him well. I know a lot about his work. And secondly, I would say this. Both candidates in this race for president are challenged in their party at one level or another. They both have a lot of work to do to earn the vote of the people, and I think both have a good bit of work to do. I think also when you consider what Americans are going to make determinations about, they're going to decide basically who the record of one versus the other. And I think when the president puts his record in front of the people, it'll be pretty clear what he's done at the age that he's president. You know, for most of his 4 years, now three more, almost 4 years as president, he's been an older man, but he got the infrastructure bill done. The other candidate talked about it. President Biden got it done. We're seeing now the effects of the investments in clean energy. We have a record low unemployment, but we have to continue to work on this issue of lowering costs for families. And one of the ways to do that is to go after shrinkflation and greedflation. We got to give company or families more help when they're raising their children. That's why we need a much stronger, robust child tax credit. When you're raising your kids and trying to pay for groceries, we ought to make sure that families can keep more of their tax dollars. So that's going to be critical to help families, even as we're holding companies accountable.
Fair enough. Senator Bob Casey, always a pleasure to talk to you, Bob. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. And we'll look forward to having you back again. And certainly anytime you're in the area, the studio's yours. Come on in. We'd love to talk to you. Take care.
Mayor, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Bye.